In 2016, a crack team of podcasters was sent to Twitter jail for hot takes they didn't say. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Orlando Underground. Today, still wanted by Orlando City fans, they survive as podcasters of fortune. If you have hot takes, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the fourth official.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of The Fourth Official without Austin David. Rest in peace.
RIP.
This is episode 68 of The Fourth Official. This is our Premier League special episode where we're going to be talking about the upcoming English Premier League season. We'll be giving some predictions. Of course, we'll be giving some hot takes as always. I'm Kyle Foley hosting this week. Alongside me, we have Gavin Eubank.
Hello there.
And Brad.
Yeah, with Arsenal firmly in first place right now, the table will remain as it is. Bournemouth will finish second, Brighton Hove Albion third, and Burnley fourth.
Those are some bold predictions to start off the show. So we'll kind of keep going with that, though, because one of the things we wanted to do is we wanted to talk about kind of the teams that at least the three of us are following and what our expectations are for those. So Brad, we'll just let you go. Since Arsenal are currently in first and you believe that's where they'll finish based on the way the table looks as of today. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about that?
Added Lacazette over the summer, said Kwozniak as well. I'm pretty sure I'm not pronouncing his name correctly. But their reports of their demise have maybe been greatly exaggerated. I know Alexis Sanchez is maybe on his way out. No one really knows what's going on with his contract situation. No one really knows what's going on with Mesut Ozil's contract right now. Things are kind of sort of up in the air with Arsenal. They just re-signed Arsene Wenger to an extension for, I believe it was 2 years this past summer. But it should be noted that they're doing a little bit better than they have been as of late. They're heading into Europa League with some pretty high expectations as to whether they should probably contend to win that one. They just came off of a Community Shield victory over Chelsea. Trying to think if that penalty kick has finally landed yet. I still think it has. Arsenal, I mean, being realistic here, finishing... I'm gonna say Arsenal will finish third.
I think that's realistic.
Do they finish above or behind Tottenham?
Above. I think Tottenham finishes fourth just because I don't think Tottenham has made like the moves that you would like to see in a team that just finished second.
I don't think they've made any moves this summer, actually.
Yeah, that's to my point. They haven't really done anything. So, I mean, they're that club. I mean, Arsenal fans love chanting, you sold Bale, we signed Mesut Ozil. And that's basically what the entire, like, synopsis of the Arsenal-Tottenham rivalry is. Tottenham will have one good year, and then suddenly they will not do anything with that goodwill and underwhelm everyone who ever decided to put faith in them for the next like 10. And meanwhile, Arsenal will like continue to be the world's greatest team when there's absolutely no stakes on the line, or if they have to play in an FA Cup match, which you'll watch them play FA Cup matches and you think that they can beat any team on the face of the earth, but then they get knocked out in the round of 16 by Bayern every year, so you know, whatever.
What is that meaningless gesture, Arsenal?
Yeah, they're by far the greatest team the world has ever seen, is how I think the chant goes.
Well, they've already got FA, or not FA Cup, Community Shield under their belt this season, so really anything's possible.
Yep, the prerequisite Arsenal have won silverware for the year has already been done, so now it's just whatever.
Yeah.
Seems pretty fair. Gavin, as our resident Everton supporter, let's hear a little bit about that team, now led again by the great Wayne Rooney.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the big story with Everton this year is losing Romelu Lukaku. He's been pretty much their offensive output. I mean, so it's going to be really interesting to see where the goals come from, because, I mean, you know, Wayne Rooney, who, by the way, is only 31 years old, which is kind of shocking because he's not really on the downside of his career, but he's you know, we haven't really seen much of him lately, and he's still got something to prove, I think, and it's going to be really fun to watch him this season back at Goodison. And how he really connects with the rest of the team. You know, it's Everton's done a lot this year, and like I think last year I was really excited for them going into the year, and they you know, kind of met my expectations. They were one of, you know, the better teams in the league. I think they finished seventh behind Manchester, and then just the rest of the league dropped off behind them. So they kind of kept up with the top teams. I mean, not really, but they were, you know, still one of the better teams in the league, obviously. This season, it's kind of even better because they went out and they spent a ton of money this offseason. They signed Michael Keane from Burnley, a pretty good defender there. They signed Jordan Pickford, I think, for a club, close to a club record. It was like $30 million for a goalkeeper. So they've got that now in goal for them. So that's going to be something. Let's see, Davy Klavanson, another guy that they were able to sign from Ajax, a proven European guy, not a guy with no Premier League experience. It's going to be interesting to see what goes on there with him. One of the big things that they're looking at is Gylfi Sigurdsson from Swansea. That seems to be the ongoing saga with them this year. They're apparently close. You know, both sides are trying to get a deal done. Apparently Swansea want around $50 million. Everton don't want that. So they're trying to meet in the middle, which has not happened yet. Sigurdsson, I believe, he's only played one preseason game for Swansea, so he's been kind of caught in the middle of all this, and I don't think he's going to play. I saw something that he's not going to play this weekend for Swansea, which is not, I don't think, ideal for any of the parties involved there either. But Everton, I think with them, you know, we'll get into our predictions later, but with them, I think, let's see, seventh last year, I think they can do a little bit better than that, at least go after Europa League, which is you know, pretty exciting. They were there a few years ago. I think it was Roberto Martinez's first year that they qualified for that. So it's, I don't know. Everton's not a big club by really the standards that you kind of hold the other guys up in the Premier League to, but they've spent the money this offseason, and I think they're going to be a pretty talented team.
Ned, do you have any bold predictions for this season?
A bold prediction. I think Wayne Rooney scores 10 goals and has 10 assists. I think he has a pretty good season. I do think another thing.
I stopped there. Wayne Rooney wins the Golden Boot.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Golden Boot, 20 goals. Why not? 20, 25. Let's just put it up there. What did Harry Kane have last year? It was like 27? Yeah, some absurd like amount to just beat out Romelu Lukaku. But another thing with Everton, too, I forgot to mention is you have Ross Barkley there who wants out, but he's still there. So what goes on with that is another thing to be seen.
Yeah, it'll definitely be an interesting season for them. We'll see how they perform. But speaking of Lukaku coming to the greatest team in the country of England and the whatever the United Kingdom, whatever the proper term is, that's not country, because I feel like there's something else there that I should be using instead and whatever.
He's going to Celtic.
as a United fan, the year looks good, but last year looked good because we had Zlatan, and I thought for sure
might still have Zlatan.
Well, that is true. Might still have Zlatan in the new year, depending on what happens with his recovery from injury. Seeing if we pick him up on a contract there, I'm not really sure if any of that'll happen or what's going to happen or how that's all going to work. Nobody knows at this point, but it should be an interesting season because we have made several good signings to help strengthen a side that did not look horrible last year, but did not look great. So it'll be interesting to see how those things change. Obviously, Lukaku looks like he could be a pretty good replacement for Zlatan, not to the same level, but he's proven over the last several years that he can score in the Premier League, which will be nice. Bringing over Matic from Chelsea will be a nice addition because it allows Pogba to play more up the field and allows him to be a little more free, which will be nice. Signing Victor Lindelof from Portugal, bringing him over will also be a nice addition to the back four, which has been a little weak. It'll be nice if we can actually bring in a better right back, because I don't agree that our current options are the best. And I think on the left, obviously, Luke Shaw, for years, everyone's been talking about how he has the potential to be great. So we'll see if he can actually, you know, perform and stay healthy and not break his legs. So that'll definitely be interesting.
RIP too soon on that.
Yeah. No, if it happens, you can come back to this episode and blame me. It's all my fault. But it'll be interesting. You know, it'll be interesting to see how they play this year, especially being back in Champions League. It'll be quite the year. It should be fun. I predict a pretty good finish in the Premier League. Not winning it, but a pretty good.
See, I won't say where I think Manchester United will finish just yet, but I do think that they have a chance to be a really good team in this league. I heard something the other day that with Jose Mourinho, he's won the league by his second season with every club he's been at. So Porto, Chelsea twice, Real Madrid. So, I mean, it's year two. This is where he breaks through. And, you know, like you said, that Manchester wasn't a bad team last year, but they weren't great. I mean, didn't they have, like, the most draws in the league or something? You take a lot of those draws, you turn those into wins, and that suddenly you're right there in the top four, you know, competing for the championship.
Well, and I think part of the thing that's going to help with that is Pogba now no longer has the weight of being the world's most expensive player.
Yeah, plus he's got that, you know, plus a year under his belt.
Exactly. You play with a team for a year, you're back. It's no longer this hype of you're the new guy, and oh, by the way, you cost more money than any other player in the history of the sport. Now that's been blown out of the water, so nobody will be talking about that. That won't be a media narrative, which will be nice. Obviously, having players around him that'll help free him up a little bit should be good. So it should be a pretty interesting year. The Premier League in general, though, looking at the way things are shaping up. I mean, last season, before the season started, if you were to say, yeah, Chelsea's going to win the league, most people would have probably said, yeah, they're a talented squad and they don't have to play, you know, any European games. So it seems like a pretty fair assumption. I think for the most part, we all kind of looked at that and said, yeah, Chelsea looks like the stronger team. Even if we didn't necessarily pick them to win, we all at least saw that the potential there. It was pretty clear.
Mm-hmm.
But this season is a lot more cluttered. This season
is
one of those things where all the best teams are back playing in Europe. So it's not like we have this outlier of a team like a Chelsea or one of the Manchester squads or whatever who are not playing in Europe and having that advantage of some extra rest. So it'll be interesting. So with that, though, who wins the Premier League this season? Brad, we'll start with you.
You know, I am going to take a shot in the dark, as I am wont to do. And, you know, a few years ago we had Leicester sort of shock the world, and they sort of took it all from everyone. I'm going to say a recent promotion, Newcastle United is going to win the league. No, I'm going to say Chelsea.
Bold.
I'm going to say Chelsea repeat. That was dumb.
Interesting. So you think Chelsea will repeat?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I think Conte's sort of had something there that he, you know, he can sort of work with it. I don't think that now that they're suddenly going to be playing in the Premier League, I mean, Chelsea pretty handedly won the league last year. I think there was a solid month left by the time they actually, like, clinched the title. Am I wrong in that? No. I think Spurs actually, like...
Yeah, it was a relatively decent push there at the end.
Yeah, Spurs came close for a while. I think Matic was the only one that was, like, a huge departure for the club, so...
They didn't get Lukaku. I mean, they really wanted him.
They didn't get Lukaku, but, I mean...
And Diego Costa's still there, surprisingly, so that's fun.
Well, still there in spirit. I don't think he'll ever play another game for Chelsea.
I mean, he's around. I mean, it's whatever.
I think he's made pretty clear by partying out in Brazil with an Atletico Madrid shirt on that he has his mind made up for where he's going to be going. And the fact that Conte texted him saying, we don't have plans for you.
I mean, they have both Batman and Morata, so I would say I think of the teams that, well, I mean, it's kind of boring really to say Chelsea's going to win, but that, I mean, it's just I have zero faith and expectations in anything exciting ever happening in sports anymore, so that's just basically what I'm going with.
All right, see, not only do I think that Chelsea does not repeat, I think they fall out of the top four this year, because the thing that made them so special last year was that three-back formation, that 3-4-3, and now you have that year, teams have the ability to have scouted that now, so they're not only going to adjust to it, but you're probably going to see teams try to use that to their strengths and to their advantages, too, to go against Chelsea.
Arsenal's already using a 3-4-2-1 to play whenever they sort of do stuff like that. So
exactly. Yeah. I think we're going to see, because what we saw last year was they got off to a slow start, and then you saw Conte kind of tinker around until he finally found that. I think we might see that kind of same thing this year, where they start out slow because teams have them figured out, and then Conte tries to, you know, does his tinkering and finally figures it out. But I don't think that with the strength of those other teams around them at the top of the table that they'll be able to stay in the top four.
They'd also be the first repeat champion since 2009. So, yeah. I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, Arsene Wenger even said, he's like, time will decide if Chelsea's stronger. I think that the other teams have made enough moves in there so that they can compete, but I think Chelsea is still Chelsea. So, I mean, it's boring to say that Chelsea's going to be good, but, you know, it's also, you know, guess what, guys? Alabama's good every year in college football, too. So that's, you just kind of take it how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely don't think Chelsea's going to repeat. Kind of going off of what Gavin was saying. And they lost. I mean, losing Matic actually was fairly key, and they've all kind of admitted it. At Chelsea, basically saying, hey, he was a big part of why we won, and so losing him is going to put us at a disadvantage going forward, mostly because they don't have anyone there really to replace him. They didn't really bring in anyone other than Morata, at least anyone super noteworthy. And the problem with Morata is potentially he could be very good in the Premier League, but he's a complete unknown as of now.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, I mean, that was the difference between when Lukaku went to Manchester United and Conte said, oh, well, we got the guy that we always wanted. Well, no, you didn't. You wanted the guy who's proven he could score 25 goals in the Premier League, not the guy who only played half the games in a season in Spain, where the level of competition overall is not the same. It's way more physical in the Premier League. There are more good teams, if that makes sense. In Spain, you have three great teams and then a bunch of mediocre teams, and occasionally one or two look decent. Whereas in England, you have at least five or six really, really good teams, and the rest, minus like the bottom three or four, are still pretty decent.
Yeah, so, I mean, in the Premier League, any team can beat anybody on any given day.
Yes. There's a lot of parity in that league, and it's authentic parity, not forced parity, like some leagues, cough, cough, Major League Soccer, cough, cough. With that, I would give my prediction for who wins. I think it's Manchester City that wins.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think they – I mean, they've got the talent.
They got all those outside backs now.
I thought they had the talent last year, and I still think they're the most talented squad. But I think Chelsea not having Champions League games really gave them an advantage, and I think Tottenham kind of shocked everyone with how well they played last year, and I don't think they'll replicate that this year. I mean, I think they'll be a top six team. I don't know if they'll be pushing but I don't think they'll be pushing for the first place spot. So I'll just give my top six, and you guys can feel free to give your own if you have them at least somewhat thought out. But I think City finishes first. I think United finishes in second, and I think Chelsea is right there in third. I then think there's a little bit of a gap between Chelsea and Arsenal between third and fourth, and then I think it's Liverpool and then Tottenham.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll say I do have Manchester United winning the league. I think behind them would be City. It'd be City, Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, then Tottenham. The problem I have with Tottenham is as good as they were last year, is they basically, obviously they haven't made any moves yet, so they're kind of hoping that everybody they have will just get better, which, I mean, there's no guarantee that'll happen. I mean, you have the two-time defending Golden Boot winner, but really how far is that going to get you when you haven't done anything else around you? So it's going to be, I don't know what to make of them just yet. I mean, we'll have to see what happens when they hit the field, but that would be my top six. Or actually, I mean, Everton will probably, like, I think, bounce their way in there, but right now it's hard to say.
Yeah. So, Brad, do you have a top six? It doesn't even have to be all six, but if you have a top five or top six,
yeah,
ranking.
I'll take a crack at it. I'll say Chelsea, United, Arsenal, City. You're probably looking at Liverpool, and then Tottenham.
So we all have the same teams in our six.
You're going to. But,
right. I mean, it's just debating
whatever combination thereof. It's just,
I do think it's possible that Everton can leapfrog Tottenham for that last spot. I think that they might be the only team that I think could do that. And even then, I'm not really confident saying that because I still think overall Tottenham is a more talented team.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, like, I remember was it in 2015? Everyone was like, Arsenal didn't really make any moves. Everyone was sort of commenting about how sort of underperforming they were for transfers, and then they ended up finishing second on the year. That was the year, Leicester City won. Mm-hmm. Everyone was kind of commenting on how, you know, early on they're like, ooh, Arsenal didn't make any moves during the year, and then they kind of stumbled their way into second place. But I think the EPL as a whole was down that year. I mean, you can look as far as like the Champions League and see how the results filled out that year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, clearly, I think with the new TV deal that was signed in the EPL and the billions of dollars that have since been poured into teams' budgets because of that TV deal, that they're starting to sign players, and England is becoming a more attractive place to go if you want to, you know, see some of those higher wages if you're a world-class talent. You know, you're always going to have that equity going to Barcelona, Madrid, Bayern Munich. But I think as far as, you know, competing on a world stage, I mean, we did just see, you know, PSG pay $225 million just to even trigger Neymar's release clause. But I think as a league on a whole, I think the EPL is far and away probably the best league in the world as far as competition-wise goes.
Yeah. I would say, too, I want to throw in a sleeper pick. And I don't know if you can really call them a sleeper pick because of how good of a summer they have, but West Ham.
Watford.
Actually, no, I was going to say, West Ham is actually pretty good. I mean, you look at what they've done this year, Pablo Zabaleta, you got Chicharito, Marco Ivanovic, they have Joe Hart in goal. I don't know how seriously anybody takes that, but they have Joe Hart in goal. They might be a pretty decent team. I mean,
didn't say one other name.
Who am I missing?
John Terry, didn't he go to West Ham?
No, he's at Aston Villa.
Aston Villa, that's it. Yeah, it's another light blue and
I do get club. Those two mixed up from time to time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think West Ham could be right up there with Everton as, you know, in that top 7-8 battling for Europa at the very least. And Chicharito back in the Premier League too. Let's see what he has to prove after Manchester United didn't work out too well.
Well, it wasn't even that Manchester United didn't work out well. He was playing well for them. It just
they didn't have a spot for him.
Louis van Gaal didn't really want him on the team.
Yeah.
So we've got kind of top six, talking a little bit about some sleepers. One of the things kind of looking at when it comes to the Premier League is how teams perform compared to other teams around Europe, not just around other teams in the league. And one of the biggest criticisms over the last couple of years has actually been their performance in the Champions League. Not being able to, you know, it's been a while since they've been one of the favorites to win it all, and they've not looked super great the last couple of years. So of the teams competing in Champions League this year from the Premier League, who has the best chance of winning it?
Maybe Chelsea. I think they're still a good team. We got, let's see, Manchester City's there, right? So, I mean, they're pretty deep side. I think if they can figure it out, I mean, Pep knows Champions League. So, I mean, this is his second run at it with Manchester City now. So, I think I like Manchester City's chances.
All right, Brad.
You know, it's interesting. I'm trying to see here when the last time
it would have been Chelsea, right?
Yeah, I believe it was Chelsea. I'm just trying to see what year that was.
Was that the year where they went to PKs with Drogba? Or
no, I think an English team has won since then, haven't they? Yeah, well, no, you're right. I think the Spanish club has won it every year since 2014. So,
yeah
2012, I guess, would have been.
Yeah, over Bayern Munich.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, I think if we're looking at it, I don't think Chelsea do a European double. I think Chelsea's really only built – to compete at one place at a time. I mean, Chelsea's famous for loaning out its players everywhere. So that's the main criticism I think you would have of Chelsea, just signing up a bunch of people and then loaning them out. Mm-hmm. I would say with the addition of Lacazette, I think Arsenal are finally able to go past the round of 16, and I don't think they'll win, but I think they're able to be the deepest club as far as anyone has seen. I think between seeing how well they've done in FA Cup performances, they've proven that they can sort of balance out their squad and sort of play at multiple levels. I know they're not playing; they're playing in Europa League, so I sort of expect them to win that one. But I think if we're going to look ahead, I think they're sort of built for success in the Champions League. But as far as this year goes, I'm going to say United are probably best suited for the Champions League just based on, you know, additions they've made. You know, between Pogba and Lukaku, I think they pose one of the stronger attacking forwards, you know, in EPL. And I think a lot of teams in Europe are going to have trouble sort of figuring out how to defend against that.
Yeah, when you said that that Chelsea likes to loan out everybody, that made me think of Matt Biazza and what's happening with him in the squad. And he was loaned back a season-long loan to Vitesse. He was the 17th player loaned out so far this season by him.
Yeah, and it's not to say that Chelsea doesn't have a deep squad, which they do, but I think they have real issues managing that talent and sort of figuring out what pieces go in where to sort of use them later on. So. Mm-hmm.
They basically just kind of hoard talent, and then they're like, well, we don't really need you, so just go play here.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to agree with Brad in terms of believing Manchester United has the best chance of winning it. And the biggest reason, honestly, I mean, the link-up of Paul Pogba and Romelu Lukaku is obviously really good. But my big thing is it's the only – I mean, they have a manager with experience winning Champions League multiple times. It's not a question of talent. I mean, really, for any of them, it's not a question of talent. It's just a question of will they have enough to overcome a team like a Real Madrid or a team like Bayern Munich, Barcelona, PSG? Will they have what it takes to overtake them? And I think a lot of that comes down to good coaching in the end and good tactics. So I do think that gives them the upper hand.
If we're going off Mourinho's superstitions, they have to win this year. Otherwise, that fourth year is going to come around. It's going to come around hard.
Oh.
All right, so we've got one last thing just in our discussions about the Premier League, and that is because we've talked about who's going to win and who's going to do well in Europe, but now we need to talk about who's going down.
Wait, you're bad.
Yeah, I mean, if we look at who came up this year, I mean, we're looking at Brighton Hove Albion, Newcastle United, and Huddersfield Town. And I'm going to say Brighton Hove Albion go down, Huddersfield Town go down, and Stoke weren't looking too good there for a while, weren't they? I mean, they're kind of.
I keep seeing people think that Stoke might go down, and that's an interesting one because I don't really agree with that.
Yeah, I don't either.
I mean, I don't, forgive me if I'm wrong. I'll look at the table from last year, because I'm just kind of going off of my gut here, but I think Stoke were sort of looking like they might go down.
I mean, they're probably somewhere around 15th or 14th. I mean, they're usually bottom half of the table, that's for sure.
They're 13th. Actually, my sleeper pick for 2016, Watford, ended up just being barely above relegation. So so that Stoke prediction's looking kind of weird now, but whatever.
Who's your sleeper this year?
My sleeper this year? I'm going to say Southampton.
Okay. They finished what, like 8th last year?
Yeah, they finished 8th.
Huh. Surprise some folks.
I don't really think they've done too much. I never really hear much about Southampton, but I think they can. They're a fun club to watch sometimes.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna say that Brighton and Hove are definitely going back down. I don't think Huddersfield Town goes back down. I don't know why. I think just because they have an American manager in David Wagner. You got Danny Williams, midfielder, was with Reading last year, national team midfielder. I think that's going to be fun to watch him. So I don't think they go down. So Brighton and Hove, I think Swansea go down just because they deserve to go down for what they did to Bob Bradley last year. And then I have – it's going to be a – I think Crystal Palace. I just don't think that they have it all together. Yeah, I think they struggled last year. They definitely weren't as good as they should have been. And I think that when you look at what's happening, I think I'm going to say they go down.
All right. And then who's your sleeper pick for the year?
My sleeper pick, I think last year said Bournemouth, and I kind of ride the Bournemouth wave. I'm going to go Burnley.
Interesting, because Burnley is one of the teams that I believe will be going down.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Burnley was like 2 spots away from relegation last
year. Yeah, I mean, they're one of those yo-yo clubs. They kind of go up and down, but...
You were just singing West Ham's praises like earlier on in the show. I mean, you ever thought that... I mean, West Ham, not much of a sleeper pick, especially with some of the moves they've made.
But... Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is I don't know how under the radar they're really going to be.
Yeah, well, I think Brighton's definitely going down, and I do think Burnley's going down. And then I don't want to pick them for the same reasons Gavin did not pick them. But I think Huddersfield is going to go back down as much as I would like them to not. So I'd hope they prove me wrong. That would be nice. And my sleeper pick, which I guess sort of not really a sleeper pick, but my sleeper pick is Newcastle.
I saw
a promoted club being your sleeper pick. That's interesting.
I saw ESPN's projections had them finishing like 9th, which, I mean, for a promoted club seems kind of funny, but when you think about it, they're not a bad club. I mean, they still have...
No, they had like a bad year.
Yeah, exactly. It was like with Chelsea and the year Mourinho got fired. I mean, they're not a bad team. They just had a bad year. Plus, I think with DeAndre Yedlin still, that'll be, you know, he's back in the Premier League now. So,
yeah, it'll be an interesting season for sure. A lot of these. Do any of you guys have anything else to add before we wrap this up?
I think this is Arsenal legend Petr Cech's last year.
Interesting.
I think somehow John Terry comes back to Chelsea. That's my bold prediction. I think they just struggle. They have a couple of injuries, and Conte just gets really panicky and brings back.
I think Wayne Rooney goes bald again before the season is up.
Okay.
But scores more than 15 goals.
Okay. I mean, I would love that. I don't think it'll happen, but I would love that.
I don't think either will happen, but I'd like to see both. I'd like to see him go bald again, and I'd like to see him score a lot of goals.
I also think Coutinho gets sold at the end of this year.
I think with Liverpool, like, the predictions on them finishing top 4 completely depend on whether or not he stays. It sounds like he might, because Barcelona rejected their latest offer, but, I mean, he kind of wants to leave, it seems like. And also want to give a shout out to Bournemouth, their third year in the league. Who would have thought that a team playing in a stadium of 11,000 would be kind of almost established at this point? I think they finished 13th or 14th last year. So after finishing, what, like ninth their first year or something pretty good. So Eddie Howe's doing a fantastic job over there. And they have Jermaine Defoe this year. So, I mean, another guy who's kind of on the downslope but has something to prove. So,
all right, well, there you have it. This has been the fourth official preview of the Premier League. We'll check back in after a couple months. Once the season's underway, we'll look back at our predictions and look at how laughably wrong we all were. So it'll be fun. Thank you guys for listening. Be sure to find the show on Facebook or Twitter at Fourth Official Show. Be sure to leave us a nice review on iTunes. Let people know how great we are so that more people could find out about the show so that we can continue providing excellent content for you people. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys back next week.
RIP Austin.